Welcome back, folks, to the Right Field Roundtable podcast. My name is Brandon Raz, here with Cooper and Austin. We're recapping the last week in Alabama baseball. Unfortunately for the Crimson Tide, it has been quite the brutal week. We'll start out on Tuesday against Southern Miss. Alabama loses a game 5-4 in their early week game. Guys, what did we see from this?
This game was just very disappointing. You know, we had a good 2-0 lead. You get three in the sixth, but we get two more to make it 4-3, but then they come right back and make it 5-4, the final score. And it's just, it's frustrating because we left a lot of guys on base, you know, that we could have brought home and and just blown Southern Miss out of the water. But fortunately, we couldn't do that. So it was just the start of a tough, tough stretch.
Yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts, Austin. You're absolutely right, Cooper. We left so many people on base. This was just an absolute tough one. So, Austin, I just wanted to get your thoughts.
For sure. And, guys, I think this is kind of one where you look in at the box score and see our pitching performance, and it's really not awful. Kind of see where it went wrong. William Freeman pitches a season-high 5 innings and only gives up 3 runs, but only 2 are earned. And Brock Guffey has a 2 innings pitched of scoreless. I mean, so, you know, it wasn't an awful performance from a pitching standpoint. There was just a lot of guys left on base, like Cooper touched on, and just kind of just not performing. You know, it wasn't – that almost makes it more frustrating that it wasn't a blowout. It wasn't a complete miscommunication. It was just a lot of little things and just really just a frustrating performance.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up pitching as we move into the weekend series with Ole Miss because, man, that was the problem. We talked about it before on this show, but bullpen, and more bullpen. Alabama was slated to play Ole Miss on Thursday, unfortunately due to some inclement weather, which the state has been struggling with now for, you know, I don't know how long. Calendar just doesn't change anymore. But they play a doubleheader on Friday, and they send Tyler Raz out, who, you know, again, comes out and pitches a pretty decent outing. You know, 6 innings pitched, only 5 hits, 1 run. You know, the strikeouts, only 1 is a little concerning. But overall, you know, Tyler Raz has really improved from the last time we had kind of been breaking down his pitching. He's certainly gotten better, and I think now our starters are at a pretty equal level across the board with solid outings. But unfortunately, even though you know, the Crimson Tide had 4 home runs on the day, they just couldn't get it done, giving up a lot of runs late in the ninth, and it was not good. Brock Guffey, like you said, actually came out and gave up a majority of those runs with 4. And then Eli Giles, who we've talked about, a freshman in our bullpen, comes in and gives up another 2. So, you know, just a tough game. Cooper and I were kind of talking about it today. It's just one of those where, you're sitting there and you're like, we got it. And you walk away for 1 second and we did not have it. So, just really unfortunate ending to that game and kind of a really unfortunate way to start the series and kind of set the tone for the rest of the series. I want to move into the second game of the doubleheader. You know, this one was equally as heartbreaking. I believe, Cooper, you were on this one, right?
Yeah, I was on this one. And pitching, I'll put like an asterisk on this game. Pitching was not the problem in this game of our now 6-game losing streak, which I hate to say, but that is what it is. But pitching was not the problem because Dylan Smith, like he has been all year, has been lights out, maybe gives up a mistake here or there, you know, 4 hits, 1 run, and that 1 run was a home run. So, like, they weren't really getting anything off of him. Just for some reason, we can't get any run support when Dylan Smith is on the mound. Like, the bats just won't wake up, and that seems to be just a common theme throughout this whole streak right now. is just lackluster offense. Lots of guys left on base, you know, nothing happening in this game. We got five hits, and Peyton Wilson had three of those five hits and only two walks. Like, only seven times did we have someone on base, and it was in the second inning when we had multiple guys on base and the inning ended in a double play. So, like, it's just – it's frustrating to see because Dylan Smith has the potential to be a star pitcher in the SEC, but his record is just not showing that because he's 0-3. And that's because the offense won't get it done when he's on the mound.
It's crazy, too, because you look at that game and you're like, wow, Dylan Smith, seven innings, only four hits and eight strikeouts. Like, that's win. Those are winning numbers. Those are
no
winning
walks,
numbers.
Too.
No walks.
No walks. Like, winning, that would win a major league game.
I mean,
he's triple A ready, you know?
Well, I mean, like,
play ready.
You put him on Vanderbilt as their third starter, they're going undefeated every weekend.
Yeah. And we can't get anything done at the plate, so we lose a 2-0 game. And not to Dylan Smith's fault. He gave up a solo home run. Any team around the world playing baseball would take that. You only gave up a home run and it was a solo shot? Fine. Yeah, great. You give me seven innings and only one run, you're hired. $80,000 a year or however much money small teams make now. Your bats can't get anybody on base. I know I've said the same thing five times in the segment, but I was just so frustrated following this game and hearing all and seeing all the good stuff our defense did and all the bad stuff our offense did. So just go to the third game. At least we got some runs there. Austin has some hopefulness for us for the third game.
And especially just to see this tale of both games on Friday, you know, the game gets pushed back, so you play the doubleheader, and to see almost a mirror image of the pitching struggles in the bullpen in both games on the same day is kind of fitting. And for both starting pitchers to play solid performance outings, could not expect any more. And both give up one run each, could not expect any more. And just to see how the bullpen has some work and like that it needs to move on. And then also our offense really has to step up as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was just frustrating to see the pitching woes and everything going on. It's just really upsetting, like, especially with Dylan Smith and just they can't get it together right now. And it's unfortunate because they're not a bad team. It's just unfortunate that we play in the SEC, which you really need to be a great team to win. So, oh, boys, it's rough. This has been a rough weekend for the Crimson Tide. I can tell you that all around. So when we return for part two, we'll be talking about the upcoming schedule for the Alabama Crimson Tide baseball team and how we can right this ship in the next coming weeks. So stick around and we'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Back, folks, to Right Field Roundtable. We're looking ahead for the Crimson Tide's upcoming series, home series against Tennessee, starting on April 2nd, Friday, on Easter weekend. So, obviously, we just talked about it. It's been quite a whirlwind for this baseball team, quite an upsetting week. And now it's time for them to try to rebound and try to beat another good SEC team in Tennessee. So let's just jump right into it, guys. Friday, April 2nd at 6 p.m. What do we like here?
Well, Austin and I, we were talking about this before the podcast. Tennessee has an impressive record of 21-4. But when you look at like the teams they've played before they got to the SEC, was absolutely no one. I'm talking Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Indiana State, Georgia Southern, Charlotte, University of North Carolina at Greensboro. You know, they are playing absolutely no one. And still managed to drop a couple here and there. I think they ultimately went 16-3 over on that non-conference schedule. So they've got a good team, but they played no one. They get to the SEC. They meatloaf Georgia, win 2 out of 3. They sweep LSU. So they're going to be high. And it's really hard to be confident about this team right now. Like, I know these past two SEC series, we have both predict, or all three of us have predicted, 2 wins and a loss. I think I got a flip. I think we're only winning one this series against Tennessee. It'll be a much needed win, but we're only going to get one.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because it's probably definitely not coming on Saturday when Dylan Smith pitches.
Right. Dylan Smith is going to lose another 2-0 game. And it will be terrible, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Austin, what are your, maybe you can give us a little optimism for this series as Cooper and I are just sitting here. Just
as I think, guys, I'm going to try and shine some light on the podcast. Give us a little bit of ray of sunshine here and some hope. On Friday, like me and Cooper were talking about earlier, I really see a chink in the armor with this Tennessee team of, we have played against the number one team in the country and the number three team in the country. And I think it's good for us not to lose perspective of that, that we've played the best of the best, cream of the crop. And there have been a lot of low points and a lot of things that need to progress in this season, but there have been shining moments. So I think going into this series against the Tennessee team, against a team that we can definitely take two against, I'm going to go back in with my standard prediction of 2 wins. And I think this is going to be a chance that we really have a good chance to pull that off. And against this Tennessee team, we really have a good chance to compete. If you look at this LSU series, they did sweep LSU. One was in extra innings that was within a run. And the third game of the season was also within a run. And including the Friday game of only a 2-run win. So this is not a blowout win. This is not a Tennessee team that's really going to put a lot of points on the board in SEC play. And I think that we'll really be able to capitalize on that, especially going into the weekend with Dylan Smith. On Friday, I'm going to predict a win by Alabama. I'm going to say 6-2 Alabama. We come out of the gate strong and right the ship.
All right. I mean, like, you definitely changed my perspective a little bit. That was definitely a little bit uplift. That uplifted me just enough. So I'm on your team there with Friday. I think Alabama gets the win in a 5-1 victory. Just because I think we've been playing our best on Friday, being able to score and pitch on Fridays. So I'll take the Friday win with you. Cooper?
I'm still sour grapes. I think we dropped this one. Let's not forget, Tennessee is 9th in the country. Yeah, we've played number one and number three. Now we're playing number nine. So, like, that's a very small drop-off. I'm going a 6-3 loss. Another heartbreaker. They get 4 runs in the top of the 9th. We go in having a 3-2 lead, and they win 6-3. That's
don't say that, man.
I don't want to say that. This team has to prove me wrong and break out of this slump for me not to predict that.
You know how hard it is, man, to start your weekend off watching the baseball game or being there and you just get your heart crushed, guys. I'm going to have to start trading off Fridays with someone. All right. No, I get where you're coming from there. They are the number 9 team in the country. I think you can look at it from that angle or from Austin's angle. So, you know, it's really a toss-up. Saturday, I'm going to go with Alabama loses 3-0. Dylan Smith probably pitches all but one inning with like 12 strikeouts and 1 run, and Alabama loses 3-0.
I'll Brandon, I'll take it one step further. Dylan Smith pitches a scoreless 7 innings. Landon Green comes in, gives up 1 run. We lose 1-0. That's my prediction. I want to be wrong, and I've been wrong these past 2 podcasts about my predictions, so I'm hoping to flip the ship, and maybe they'll prove me wrong here. But, yeah, Dylan Smith, he's going to look excellent again. Scoreless 7 innings. Not a walk to be seen.
What was that
one? 21 strikeouts. He pitches a perfect 7 innings, and we still lose 1-0.
Boy, that'd be upsetting. Awesome.
Well, call me Mr. Optimism, guys. I'm going to predict a win on Saturday. By the law of averages, Dylan Smith cannot lose this 4th game. He's going to end the weekend 1-3 and get that first win in the win column. I'm going to say 3-2 Alabama win. Cutting it close, but yeah, guys, Dylan Smith, he's due for one from the baseball gods. Maybe we'll get our sacrifices up, and I'm calling one for him.
I like it. I like it. I like the optimism. So for me, heading into Sunday, Easter Sunday is a toss-up for me. I don't know why. It just is. It's a toss-up. I think there's certainly an opportunity for Alabama to win. I equally think that we could get blown out. But because it's Easter Sunday, I'm going to give us the second win of the series, Meatloaf them. We're going to go 6-4 Alabama on a walk-off by guess who? The hero of this team, always and forever, Mr. Clutch, Owen Diodati.
Mr. Canada. Player to ever come from Canada, in my opinion. I will hop on the win train finally for the Sunday game. I think Easter Sunday comes, Jesus has risen, up a bat and puts on a Diodati jersey, like you said, Brandon. And we get the win. I won't say walk off. I'll say 7-3. I think Antoine John pitches some nice baseball in the early games, fends them off. Bullpen finally figures out how to play baseball and doesn't give up any late inning runs. And Bama gets a 7-3 win on Easter Sunday.
On the third day, he returns to right field with a D.O. jersey on. Oh, man. Austin, hit us with it.
I'm going to flip-flop with you guys. I'm going to say a loss on Sunday. Just kind of looking at – I'm basing that off of our past performance this Saturday. I saw a lot of dependence on the bullpen on Saturday, and as we have seen, that does not bode well for us. A lot of runs scored in the end. I feel like Sunday is going to be a game where we're really going to lean on the bullpen, and that's going to come back to haunt us. I'm going to say an 11-2 rout by Tennessee.
Yeah, that's definitely the other possibility for the day.
It definitely is.
Listen, I think we are getting more and more realistic with ourselves as the podcast continues through the week. So I think our credibility is only going up from here. That's the one thing we can take away for sure. So when we return, we will be talking SEC baseball from the last week and entries for our infamous SEC uniform tournament on Twitter. I'm excited to see what you guys have for your schools that we drafted and talk about that a little bit right before the show ends to kick off that tournament. So stick around and we'll be right back with Right Field Roundtable Podcast.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Back, folks, to the Right Field Roundtable Podcast. We are now talking about this weekend in SEC play. We jumped to Thursday just because a lot of cancellations this week, a lot of no-name midweek games. So we just want to get right into SEC play. So first on Thursday, Vanderbilt went into Missouri and demolished them. Shocker. Vandy's looking really good.
I mean, yeah, that's the understatement of this year. Vandy looking really good is like saying the sky is maybe blue. I mean, they're just incredible right now. Missouri doesn't stand a chance. It makes me feel glad that we are not the worst team in the league. I think we can beat Missouri, and this makes me feel good. Makes the losing streak not as bad.
Yeah. That was the only game of the day, so we'll move into Friday, and boy, was there a lot going on. I'm going to start us off by going to Arkansas, Mississippi State. It seems that Vanderbilt, Arkansas, and Mississippi State are just going to continue to play each other until all of them have held the number one mantle, and they're just going to flip-flop in the top three the entire season. But Arkansas gets the win 8-2, and Arkansas continues to look really, really good, especially going into Starkville and beating a really good Mississippi State team. So, yeah. And Cooper's just shaking his head like just helpless. I can see it over there.
It's just those three will they're just going to swap 1, 2, and 3, and it's a shame that we are in the same division as that.
Yeah. Yeah. So. What stood out to you guys on Friday?
I'm going to highlight this Florida-South Carolina game. 9-8 South Carolina victory in 14 innings. But the big story here is South Carolina had 20 hits. Florida only had 9, and yet it took 14 innings and a one run to decide this game. So that is just way too many men left on base by South Carolina, you know. You get 20 hits and they're only bringing 9 runs in. Like, you got to capitalize on that. But it was just a really good SEC game. You know, number 25, South Carolina, proving they're not a pushover. We've been saying it all podcast long that don't sleep on South Carolina. They're a pretty good sleeper pick for the East. And they found a way to get it done against Florida on Friday.
Yeah. Austin, what stood out to you from this weekend?
I'm taking a look at the Tennessee-LSU game. Tennessee pulled off the game on Friday 3-1. I think something that's really given me a cause for concern on my projection on Friday is Chad Dallas on the mound, who will probably be facing as the number one starter, who is a perfect 7-0 in 9 career starts. Has not lost a game in his career as a Volunteer, and is 4-0 on the season this year with a career-high 11 strikeouts on Friday. I think Chad Dallas is definitely going to be a guy to watch, and he's going to put us through our paces on Friday. We'll see how that turns out.
And what a name, too. Like, you're destined to be a nasty SEC pitcher with that kind of name. So yeah, you're probably right. You're right with that. That's I did see that. I did get to watch him pitch a little bit, and there is a little bit of a cause for concern there. So we move into Saturday. A lot of good games going on around here. I'm going to highlight Kentucky playing Auburn. Went into Auburn, wins 7-6, 10 hits, 1 error. Auburn's now 500, and Kentucky moves to 17-4. So, you know, another SEC team kind of flying under the radar right now that's playing some pretty good ball is Kentucky. And, I mean, obviously it's a little tough when you have, you know, Tennessee and Vanderbilt, who are both really good, kind of next to you and kind of dominating your region. But Kentucky's still playing some pretty good ball, and look out for them to move up the ranks in the next coming weeks.
They actually played a doubleheader against Auburn on Saturday and won both to get the sweep. So good for the Cats, you know?
Yeah, good. They're a good team.
Yeah. I'll highlight Texas A&M beating Georgia 7-6. Just a good old eked it out by a run. And, you know, just good for Texas A&M, proving that they can still stand in this SEC, you know. That's what I like about kind of like these mid-range SEC teams, you know, because you got your top dogs who are ranked up there. But there are some good teams down there, like in the middle ranges, that are going to surprise some people. And seeing them play each other to the best of their ability, that's what we want to see, and that's what we got with A&M and Georgia.
Yeah, that was a pretty good game. It was on after ours on Saturday, and it was kind of a nice little bonus coverage SEC watch there. And you know, they played really well, so I totally agree with you. Austin, where were you looking at on Saturday?
As we mentioned earlier, talking about the Vandy Commodores going in on Thursday, starting their series. So the series finale was on Saturday for them, finished with a 3-1 win against Missouri, bringing them to 19-3 on the season. And a very interesting fact to note is this is their 12th consecutive road win. So they have won 12 consecutive SEC road games in a row, going all the way back to pre-COVID of 2019. So definitely watching out for Vandy, and for sure looking like a dominant team on the road, as you can tell by these sweeps in the past.
Yeah, I feel like Vandy just goes into baseball season and is like, we're going to make everyone pay for all the other sports. We're just going to just dominate. yeah, that's insane. 12 straight is tough to do, especially on the road. So, you know, we move into Sunday, and I can't help but look at this South Carolina team, man, against Florida, getting another win. I believe that was the series sweep there. Again, Florida 5-15, number 5 team in the country, South Carolina 25th ranked team in the country. And like we've continued to say, South Carolina is a good ball club. And you see it here, they get another win, moving to 16-6, and you know, they'll be moving up in the rankings, and just another SEC team that's going to be higher up in the top 25. So this exactly. is a good game for them and a good series.
Exactly. They moved up to 14th in the rankings, and Florida fell to 15th. So just for the AP to rub it in, like, yeah, Florida, you got swept by this team. We're going to put you one spot below them. So, yeah. The game I want to highlight, Arkansas and Mississippi State, 2-3 matchup. Arkansas won that game 6-4. Just two really good teams going at it. You talked about it in that first game of the series, just two monsters, two Goliaths of baseball going at it. Arkansas gets the win, and I am not looking forward to playing Mississippi State when they pop up on the schedule.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. Austin, what stood out to you on Sunday?
Looking at the Georgia Bulldogs against Texas A&M, kind of same score, 6-4. Mentioned those guys. I'm really seeing Georgia as kind of a sleeper pick in the East as well. I think they can definitely do some damage and not a team to take lightly. Coming out with 14 hits on the day, and they pull out the win to take the series against the Aggies.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we keep talking about all these teams from the East, and it's so crazy because we're like, watch out for them, but it's really going to be what's their draw when it comes to tournament play, because if we're talking like straight up team versus, I mean, Vandy's winning the East right now for fun. So now we want to move into something that we talked about last week. We told you guys that we were going to do a little bracket for the best uniforms out of the SEC baseball teams on Cooper's Twitter. So, and Austin and I will also be promoting it, so look out for that on our accounts. But we wanted to just kind of describe the uniforms that we've all entered and tell you the schools that each of us had to find the best uniform for. So I'll start off. I had South Carolina, Ole Miss, Auburn, your Crimson Tide, and Georgia. As I said before, I kind of realized that I picked three schools with the same color scheme, made this a little bit more difficult, but for now I have South Carolina with their classic red tops that just say Carolina on the front and nothing else, just white with red stripes on the sleeves, very classic with white pinstripe pants, just a clean old school looking uniform. Ole Miss, you know, I got the baby blues. I know my podcast co-hosts do not like that, but I had to go with the baby blues for Ole Miss. By far their coolest scheme. You know, I tried to be nice with Auburn. I found their classic orange uniforms with white pants. I'm a big stirrups guy, so blue stirrups. The classic, just a hat. kind of cool. So when you see that picture, look out for it. I included two for Alabama just because one of them I absolutely love anytime you see them. And that's the pinstripe vests with the pinstripe pants and the red underneath shirts. I love those. I think they're super cool. But the actual entry is the all red Alabama tops with the Blue Jay font across the front and pinstripes on the bottom. And then finally, I have Georgia's all whites with the all white hats and the red brim. Just a clean all white looking uniform. Looks really cool when they're at home. So those are my five entries. What else we got, guys?
So I had four. I had Florida, LSU, Tennessee, and Mississippi State. And for my entries for Florida, I'm going to enter their all white uniforms where it's a white jersey with cursive Florida written across and an orange number right there on the side of the stomach, kind of like how LA kind of looks. I think that's a pretty clean. You got the nice white hats with the blue F. Really like that. For LSU, I'm going to go with their ode to old-timey baseball, and it's like a cream jersey with a purple stripe down the middle and a big purple L right on the chest, and then a nice purple hat with a white L up there. Kind of significant of their season. They take a lot of L's, but it looks good. For Tennessee, not a big fan of what I saw for Tennessee. If I had to pick a favorite, they have a nice pinstripe jersey. It's white with like black pinstripes and a nice orange tee on there, if that can be nice. Orange hat with a white tee. Like I said, not a big fan of what I saw from Tennessee, but that was their best one. And then Mississippi State, the school that Brandon was clowning on when we were picking our schools, I went with their newest jersey. It's a nice cream jersey with a maroon state written in script, written cursive across the chest, and it looks really nice. Not a big fan of the logo on their hat where they just wrote MSU on top of each other. It just looks like a bunch of lines to me, but hey, you know what? Whatever works for you. I really like the jersey, and you know, that's why I entered it. Austin, you?
I've got Vandy, Kentucky, Texas A&M, Arkansas, and Missouri. So starting off with Texas A&M, we've got just a classic, gotta love their just home jersey as it is. There was a little bit of a refurbish about a year ago with just an upgraded font kind of going old school across the side with that same classic hat. Gotta love it. Then coming down, we've got kind of a dark horse in the competition. Vandy with a military-style patriotic uniform with that American flag slashed down the side and a little patch up top, looking pretty fresh with an army green hue going on, pants and jersey. Going down to Kentucky with classic retro white uniforms with cats on the left sleeve, just really bringing in, gotta love that old school lettering across the side, all across the front on these home uniforms. And then for Mizzou, a very updated alternate Nike uniform. We've got Mizzou yellow across the side, just against that gray. Gotta love it. That Mizzou gray you don't really see around, and a slight gray pants as well. Going down, we've got Arkansas, which I think might be my favorite, with the classic script A from Arkansas retro cream jersey at home with a hog on the side.
All right. Well, you know, obviously you can't see these entries, but you can see these entries on Cooper's Twitter. Cooper, why don't you drop that handle in there?
At Cooper Husky. It's as simple as it can be. There.
Okay.
People with my name, so I was lucky enough to just get an at Cooper Husky.
So lucky, man. I have like two underscores and like three numbers. Anyway, be on the lookout for that. Austin and I will also be promoting those on our Twitter. So go ahead, go get a real look at these uniforms and vote for your favorite, not Auburn. And we will see you next week. So this has been the Right Field Roundtable Podcast. Thanks for listening.